If you would, please, open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. I've entitled my message this morning, Highway to Hell, and you'll see why as we go through this. And this is the fifth trumpet, and I've broken our message into four parts. The pit unlocked, power unleashed, populace undone, and the pawns unveiled. Now, I must preface this teaching with the scripture because this is going to be tough, people. This is going to be rough. So far, we've been going through Revelation, and it has been tough. I mean, there's been quite a bit of destruction. There's been a lot of death. There's been a lot of atrocities on humanity, but now we are going to move into a very, very heavy piece of Scripture. And I have to preface it by Jude chapter 1, verse 20. But you, beloved, build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. This morning, if you are an unbeliever, we are going to attempt to literally reach down and pull you out of the flames of hell. And I don't, if you've been here over the last 3 years, this is probably going to be the most frightening message that you've heard since you've been here. And let me just say this. If you have little children and you thought, okay, I'm just going to keep little Johnny, little Susie in here, let me highly recommend that you take them over to Children's Church. I anticipate adults being here, or at least those who are able to palate some of this stuff. So let's remember last week in Revelation chapter 8, verse 13, and I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blast of the trumpet of the three angels who are about to sound. Now, in heaven, we have seen holy, holy, holy. But here on earth, we're hearing woe, woe, woe. Now, woe means gloom, agony, despair, misery. So this angel is warning the inhabitants of the earth, hold on to your seats. This is going to be more than what you've imagined thus far. What you've endured. Remember, we saw, you know, a star, a meteorite coming down, tainting the water and the vegetation. We saw a mountain or a volcano or another meteor, we're not sure, fall into the sea and wipe out sea life and ships. We've seen all kinds of horrible, horrible things, but now it's even the angels are saying, whoa, whoa. By the way, hang this on your belt. The first four seals and the trumpets present judgment that is directed at the earth. Remember the trumpets we were looking at last week? And the first four seals were the four horsemen. Remember the four horsemen of the apocalypse? Probably a lot of you are familiar with that term, right? It's all over the place. And they were bringing tyranny and war and famine and death and false peace. They just brought a mess of things with them. Then we saw the first four trumpets, which were ecological devastation on the earth with vegetation, the sea, the water, the sky. And oh, by the way, and then the last three seals, those were the four seals, were the four horsemen. But then the last three seals were focused on the martyr and the cosmic disturbance. This was a heavenly prelude to the seven trumpets, especially these last three trumpets. These last three trumpets will speak of hell and demonic activity. Listen, the judgment that God from heaven brings on the earth is nothing compared to the judgment that hell can dish out on the earth. Now, in the King James, devils are mentioned, or the devil is mentioned 61 times. Devils are devilish 56 times. Evil spirits 12 times. But warning against hell is mentioned 600 times. So if you add all that up, you get the idea that God is, listen, he's saying, people, don't play, don't toy with hell, with demons. Don't toy with sin. I want you to hang another verse on your belt. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. God desires that none should perish. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, that is why we are reading Revelation, and we're seeing all these calamities come upon the earth, and they're building. They're building. They're building. They've gotten worse and worse and worse. It's as if God is saying, surrender, 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 surrender. He's getting louder. He's calling on the people. But listen, the whole purpose of this is God extending his love and giving humanity another chance to surrender before the absolute end comes. So that brings us to this fifth trumpet. Verse 1 and 2, the pit unlocked. And the fifth angel sounded his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to earth. And the star was given a key to the shaft of the abyss. Now, it says here, I saw a star that has fallen from the sky to earth. Now, when you go into the Old Testament, there's quite a few places that the Bible will refer to angels as stars. In fact, there are several places in Isaiah, the devil himself says, I will ascend above the stars and be like God. In other words, I will ascend above all the angels and be like God, above them all. And Jesus said, hey, but of course we know that Satan was tossed out of heaven. He was that falling star. In Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample. Please think about this. To trample on the serpent and scorpions. And over all the power of the earth. Over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you. But rather rejoice, because your name is written in heaven. I love that. So he says here, listen, I'm going to give you power over the serpent and over the scorpion. And you're going to say, well, what is that? Well, I'm going to explain that to you here momentarily. But he says, listen, nothing shall hurt you, by no means. So as we look at this demonic activity here, I want you to understand, Christian, that demons, demonic spirits, cannot harm you. And we're going to delve into that deeper, but I'm prefacing that because as we look at this, I don't want anyone to go home freaked out today, okay? But also notice this, the devil, who is that falling star, is given a key. And the key in the Bible always represents authority, okay? And he's given the key, as we're going to see, to the abyss, to the bottomless pit where demons are locked up. Now, what does that tell me? What does that tell you? That tells you that he doesn't have the authority over the pit. He is given the key. So sometimes people like to have this idea that Satan is the ruler of hell. Listen, Satan isn't the ruler of hell. He's going to be a victim of hell. He's not the ruler of anything except for those fallen angels that were dumb enough to follow him. And of course, many, many people who follow him as well. Satanism today is very alive and well, by the way. In a lot of, like for instance, in a lot of musicians, a lot of rock stars and rap stars embrace Satanism. And what they call it is, do as thou wilt. In other words, do whatever you want. That's the heart of Satanism. They say, listen, I'm a Satanist. I don't worship Satan. I worship myself. And Satan goes, yes, that's it. Because he wants us to see ourselves as gods, right? Isn't that the temptation he gave to Adam and Eve? No, no, no. God doesn't want you to eat the fruit because then you'll be like him. You'll be a god. So he comes to us and say, listen, you're the master of your own destiny. You make your own choices. Do as thou wilt. Do your own thing. Be your own person. Don't let anyone come down with you on heavy rules. Got to do this, got to do that. And you go, yeah. But here, he's given the key. You know what that tells us? He doesn't even have a key to his own apartment. He has no authority. He has none. The word for abyss is abuso, and it appears actually quite often. A lot of times people think that this is the only place that the abyss appears in the Scripture. Not so. Listen to this. Turn over, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Starting in verse 26. Luke 8, verse 26. Then they sailed to the country of the Gadarenes, which is opposite Galilee. When he had stepped out on the land, there met him a certain man from the city who had demons for a long time. And he wore no clothes, nor did he live in a house, but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, check this out, he cried out, fell before him with a loud voice and said, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me." For he commanded unclean spirits to come out of the man if it had often seized him. And he kept under guards, bound with chains and shackles. And he broke the bounds and was driven by the demons into the wilderness. And Jesus said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion." By the way, legion is 6,000. So in other words, it's saying we're legion. There's 6,000 because many demons had entered him. And then he says, and they begged him that he would not command them to go into the abyss. Check this out. Do you see what's happening here? These demons know who Jesus is. They recognize him. They even worship him. Over in James, it says, you believe there's one God? You do pretty good. Awesome. But did you know demons believe and tremble? What James is saying, okay, so you say there's one God. I meet people all the time who say, I believe in a higher power. me and the man upstairs, we got, you know, we're good, we're good. I do God my way. And James is saying, well, you know what? Demons believe and tremble. So what's the difference between the way you believe and the way demons believe? I'm going to tell you what the difference is supposed to be. See, demons believe, but they don't obey. They don't follow God's word. They know it. They've heard it. But they ignore it. They do their own thing. They don't worship. Here is worship, but it's not real worship. It's, please don't send us to the abyss. So listen, demons already know, hey, it must be a really bad place, even for a demon. So keep that in mind. We have demons that are going to be released that have been in this abyss for thousands of years, chained up in a horrible, horrible place. Now, what happens when you release an angry, caged animal, let alone hundreds of thousands, if not millions? Verse 2. When he opened the abyss, smoke rose from it, like the smoke of a giant furnace. The sun and the sky were darkened by the smoke from the abyss. Now, the abyss. Abuso, the bottomless pit. Some theologians and commentators believe that this bottomless pit is none other than abuso speaks of a shaft, okay? It's not just a hole, it's actually like a long shaft. So this abuso, many believe that it's actually going to the center of the earth. Well, you say, well, center of the earth, doesn't it say bottomless pit? Yes, because think about this. Once you get to the center of the earth, north and south no longer exists because you're in the center. Either way you go is up. Either way you go, you're on the bottom. There is no bottom. That's one thought. The other thought is, and I'm not sure which it is, it could just be a spiritual pit and not actually in the center of the earth. Either way, when it is open, this abyss, by a key, and we don't know what kind of key it is. This is figuratively speaking. You know, it could be a literal key, or it could be something that allows him to open this abyss. But it could be in the spiritual realm. We're not told. But when it says smoke comes out of it, well, of course, It's hell and damnation. It's fire and brimstone. It's all the things that we've heard of. However, can I tell you this about hell? This is a temporary hell. This isn't the eternal lake of fire. When God says this, he said, listen, I sent my son for you to be saved. You have a choice. You can choose to follow God or reject God. If you choose to reject God, then he doesn't send you to hell. He just gives you your wish. Okay? So he says, all right, you don't want to be with me. You don't want me. You don't want my son. Then I'm going to send you to the only place that I am not there. I'm not there. And everything that is me is not there. Realize this. Light is God. That's from God. So what is hell like? Total darkness. Comfort. That's God. Without God, there is no comfort. Fellowship. That was his idea. He created man and woman. He created kids. He created all friendship. He created love. That's all his idea. So hell is the lack of God 100%. There's no fellowship. So sometimes you see movies and there's bodies on top of bodies and they're screaming. No. Only your own voice. Total darkness. Pain and agony. No comfort. No fellowship. No love. Devoid of anything good, because all that belongs to God and you didn't want that. Scary. Scary proposition. And God here is saying to us today, this is going to happen. Power unleashed, verse 3 through 4. And out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth, and they were given power like the scorpions of the earth. Interesting that we're going through Revelation, and Egypt just had a tremendous horde of locusts, or plague of locusts, whatever, a gaggle of locusts, I don't know what you call them. I don't know how they do this. Scientists say that there were 30 million locusts. How do they know it's 30 million? Okay, one, two. God, can you move over here? I already counted you. I mean, how do you count them? But they say 30 million. You know what? I'm going to take their word for it, all right? But listen, he's describing this. This is one thing. John understands locusts. He understands locusts. They have locusts. And here he says, and out of the smoke, locusts came down on the earth and were given power like scorpions. These are demons that are coming out of the pit. Why? Because we know locusts don't have scorpion stings. And we're going to see more information here in a moment. But I want you to hang another. You're going to have a lot of thoughts on your belt this morning. Hang this thought on your belt too. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians 6, 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. And now these are different rankings of demons, but against principality, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Think about that. Okay? First of all, right now on this earth, we are dealing with demonic principalities, powers, and rulers in darkness. So there are some demons that dwell in darkness, in the dark areas. But then there are some demons, these spiritual hosts of wickedness, in heavenly places. Listen, over in Job, if you're familiar with Job, Satan himself goes to heaven and has a conversation with God at a distance and puts Job's life on the line. So Satan, you know, as a side note, by the way, you know, you go to some churches and all they do every Sunday is talk about Satan and how I bind Satan. And you go to another church and they're binding Satan. And another church and I bind Satan. Listen, he's not bound. He goes to heaven, he comes to earth, and he's in one place at one time. Trust me, if we were here in this morning and I was going, I bind Satan, like some churches in this valley. I know some churches. I love their pastors, great guys. But this whole I bind Satan thing, you don't bind Satan. He's not going to be bound until God binds him. So when people say, pastors say, I bind Satan, say, go home. You don't bind Satan. And he ain't even anywhere near us. If we're dealing with demonic powers, they're just his pawns. They're just his soldiers. He's not going to waste his time with someone like me or you. We're in the desert. He's going to deal with presidents and kings, people who can affect millions. And the Bible tells us he stands ever before God accusing the brethren, accusing men like Billy Graham and Greg Laurie, these guys who are really, and standing there going, did you see what he did? And yet you're going to use him to bring, and God says, they've been washed by the blood. He accuses us, or his minions do, his pawns, accuse us. And you know what? When the devil says, Randy, you're no good. You're not a good pastor. You're a horrible Christian. I say, you're right. But I'm saved by Jesus Christ. I've been washed in the blood. And I may not be good today, but prayerfully, by his blood and by his leading, I'll be a little bit better tomorrow. And eventually, I'll go to heaven, and then it's all over with for you, buddy. But demons, devils, Satan. Oftentimes, when we read the Bible, or when we see in movies, and prayerfully we don't watch those movies, but I can't tell you how many Christians I run into and say, well, I don't believe in that demonic stuff. And it's like, really? 600 times the Bible references it. Jesus walks up and the devils know him. Throughout humanity, there have been some really evil guys. Like, for instance, Nero. Nero was the emperor in Rome. He actually ended up burning down most of Rome. He had ancestral relationships with his mom. Then he had his mom killed. He had his stepbrother killed. He had anyone who was in opposition of him killed. But then he burnt down most of Rome, and then he blamed the Christians. And then he made Christians his lawn ornaments and set them on fire. He was an evil, evil man. What about Hitler? You're familiar with Hitler? 11 million people murdered by this man in the Holocaust. And what gets me is some people trying to say the Holocaust never happened. Get lost. That was an evil man. Or Stalin, right? He wiped out millions of people. But then here in our homeland, we have little pawns, little ones that didn't affect hugely, like Ted Bundy, right? Serial killer. Richard Ramirez, you familiar with him? Hillside Strangler, had a pentagram on his hand, and he'd hold it up during the course of his court hearing. What about Charles Manson, right? Here comes the hard part. I'm going to show you a video. This is a true story, and you're familiar with the movie The Exorcist, right? Let me show you a little bit of the true story. Go ahead, guys. I prayed hard about whether or not to show you this, and actually this was a calm one. This was tame. And the reason why I had to show you this is because as we begin to talk about these demons, it's so easy to fly over the verses and not take it to heart that this is real. The Bible says that there will be times when men's hearts will fail in them for fear of what they are seeing, what they are experiencing. And smoke comes out of this abyss as if hell is belching out its worst as the lid is lifted off of this temporary hell. Verse 4 speaks about these demons. Now, please understand this. If we have demons in heavenly places, and by the way, that doesn't just mean the heavenly realm, that's in the sky, but that's also those sheep in wolf's clothing that come into the church, the heavenly realm. Because God's Spirit is here. And so if we have demons in the sky, demons on earth, demons in the dark places, and yet at this time, we're going to have even more release. But thank God, we're not going to be here. We're gone. Those who are believers, when the rapture comes. Now it says, gives us some more information here, verse 4. And they were told not to harm the grass of the earth or any plant or tree, but only those people who do not have the seal of God on their forehead. Now, we saw that there's 144,000 Jewish men who are called to evangelize, but I'm here to tell you that they're not the only ones. Breathe easy. As we see something like that, and we know that there are, the demonic realm is real, listen, we have been sealed. We are safe from any attack. Listen, there are churches here in this area that say that Christians can be possessed. Wrong. Impossible. Darkness and light cannot exist together. If Jesus in your heart is in your heart, there's no room for darkness because Jesus is light. Beyond that, you are invincible. At this time, when these really wicked demons, listen, these are the really bad ones that God says, no. I've got to keep these guys chained up because they're just too bad. Look at this. Look at what we just saw. Is that saying, isn't that bad enough? Now let's intensify that. That God says, no, keep those in chains in the abyss until judgment. And then, but listen, here's the good news. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of his glory. You see, if you believe in Christ, you've been sealed. You are a super saint. You can't be harmed. You can't be touched. You cannot be messed with. Ephesians 4:30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you were sealed to the day of redemption. You're sealed. How about this? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 and 22. Now he who established us with you in Christ has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as our guarantee. See, Spirit's in your heart. You think you can be possessed? No way. Listen, it's like my children. Nobody can mess with my kids. If you want to mess with my kids, you're going to deal with me, and that's not good. Because I'm a super saint. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal. The Lord knows who are his. You hear that? The Lord knows. If you're his, the Lord knows. He's going to take care of you. And let everyone whose name, the name of Christ, depart from iniquity. See, but that's the key. You see, remember Jesus saying, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? That's proof that you're his. There's that conviction. I don't want to indulge in sin. I don't want to go into darkness. Not to say that we won't fail. We will. But your striving, your goal is to be pleasing and be in the light. You can also look at Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. We looked at that before, and we're going to be looking at it again in Revelation 22, 4. Now we have the populace undone. And look at the effect of these demons. Understand this. If you do not have salvation with God today, you need to do it. Some people say, and we're going to address this too, hey, I'll just wait till the tribulation, and then I'll give my life to the Lord. I'll do it then. You don't want to go through this. You don't want to go through this. If you don't know the Lord today, you are on the highway to hell. And I'm asking you to take an exit, U-turn, come back. Let's get it right. So here's the populace undone, verse 5 through 6. They were not allowed to kill them. So here we go. Once again, do you see God's power? They're released. They're evil. They're wicked. They were in chains, but they come up. Hey, don't you dare kill them. Okay, all right, God. We hear you. They can't kill them. So even the ones that he is going to allow, except for those who have the seal. So even the unbelievers that may be alive at this time, he says, listen, you cannot kill them because I want them to have a chance to come to me. I wish that none should perish. Verse 5. Oh, so they were not allowed to kill them, but only to torture them for 5 months. By the way, you know what's interesting? The lifespan of a locust is 5 months. So that's interesting. However, these are not locusts. These are demons. But for 5 months. And also at the flood, when the flood came, the water was rising for 5 months. It rose. And then, of course, it lingered after that. But the rising part was 5 months, that cleansing, that judgment. Here we go. And the agony they suffered was like the sting of a scorpion when it strikes. Now, living in the desert, I'm sure if I ask right now, how many of you have been stung by a scorpion? Raise your hand. Okay, very good. Awesome. These are not the same scorpions as what they have in the Middle East. The two most poisonous scorpions on the planet Earth are in the Middle East. The flat-tailed scorpion, and here, I like this one, the death stalker scorpions. There you go. That's a name befitting. They're pretty gross looking. Ours are kind of cute compared to these. But he says their sting is like, notice here, like. In these verses, we're going to see like six times. So this is a description. But these two scorpions that would be indigenous to their parts are not like ours. Ours are kind of like bee stings, right? Maybe a little worse than a bee sting? Get an amen or you're out of your mind. I've never been stung by one. I'm not going to be stung so that I can teach them a lesson. I'm going to take your word for it. Anyways, the symptoms of these scorpions, you know what? They're similar to demonic possession. Oftentimes there's convulsing, screaming in agony, foaming at the mouth, even gnashing of teeth because of the pain of these two scorpion bites. Sometimes even regurgitation from the sickness. A lot like a demonic possession. And it's interesting that he would say their sting was like a scorpion. Perhaps he's speaking of the reaction of those who are stung is similar to what he's seen by those who are stung by these two indigenous scorpions. But listen to this, verse 6. During those days, the 5 months, people will seek death, but will not find it. They will long to die, but death will elude them. Listen, even today, I've had to deal many times with people who want to take their own lives, try to commit suicide. I've also had to deal with those who have been successful in taking their own life. But at this time, because of these demons and because of the agony and because of the pain, men will want to die. You know what that means? Huh. I'm stung. I'm in pain. 5 months, not 5 days. 5 months reeling in the most agonizing pain ever. I'm like, I just got to end it. I just want to die. I can't do anything. I can't talk. I'm just sick. So I go and I jump in front of a truck. Hits me. Body mangled on the ground. Still alive. Empire State Building. Just climb up that fence and jump and you're falling and oh, sweet release. Boom, hit the ground. Still alive. Cut your wrist. Bleed out. Still alive. Drown, still alive. It's like a zombie apocalypse for real. Some guys are like, ooh, I want to be there. Some, you know, it's weird. Right now there's this whole thing of, I look on Facebook and a lot of my friends want a zombie apocalypse. And they read this, they're probably like, oh, I want to be there. No, you don't understand. In this zombie apocalypse, you're the zombie. You're not the good guy. This is horrific. Listen, you can stockpile food, you can build a shelter, you can compile an armory of weapons, but how do you defend yourself against a demon? Without Jesus Christ, you're doomed. You're going to suffer. So at this point in the tribulation, there's pain and hopelessness. That's why the angel said, whoa, agony, whoa. There's a time coming when there's no way out this time for 5 months. No way out. No way out. Even if in the middle of the 5 months you surrender to God, you still endure the 5 months of the pain. But God is saying, listen, there is hope. You're not going to die for these 5 months. I'm keeping you alive. Listen, you want to know what hell's like? You wanted to reject me because you think you can take, you know what, I'll deal with hell. I heard one guy, I went evangelizing once, and I said, hey, would you like to accept Jesus? He goes, nah. I said, you realize by rejecting him that you're saying you'll go to hell? He goes, oh yeah, I want to go to hell. It sounds like more fun. That's where all my friends will be. Here's what hell's going to be like. You're going to want to die. Gnashing of teeth, foaming at the mouth, reeling. All hope is gone. The people of this time, listen. They've seen the calamity. They saw the church get raptured. Now there's witnesses 144,000. Then you have the two witnesses in the street, and then you have an angel flying through the sky heralding. They've been hearing it and hearing it. This is a judgment of God, and yet the people still fail to return or to surrender to God all the way till the end. Wow. It's no different today. Some of you in here may have even, maybe you're fighting God now. Can I tell you something? Stupid. I don't know how else to put it. He's extended his love. He's knocked on your heart. He's blessed you. He keeps you alive. You're not suffering this pain. And he's saying, I love you. And you're like, ah, whatever. Not smart. Does it take you to get to the point where you feel hopeless before you'll surrender to God? I hope not. There's a poignant song in the musical Les Miserables. What happens when someone's hope is gone? Listen to the words. I dreamed a dream in time gone by when hope was high and life was worth living. I dreamed that love would never die. I dreamed that God would be forgiving. When I was young and afraid and dreams were and used and wasted, there was no ransom to be paid, no song to be unsung, no wine untasted. But the locusts came at night with their voices soft as thunder, and they tear your hope apart. They turn your dream to shame. I had a dream my life would be so different from the hell I'm living, so different from what it seems. Now life has killed the dream I dreamed. Wow. Isn't that what hopelessness sounds like? Isn't that what it feels like when it seems like there's nothing? And God says, I know, that's why I'm calling to you to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11. He says, if you've come to me, I got blessings, I got hope. All those dreams become a reality. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added to you. Matthew 6:33. Not good. Please. Don't remain on the highway to hell if that's where you're at right now. Make a decision to find hope. And that hope, his name is Jesus Christ. The pawns unveiled, verse 7 through 12. We're going to see here, like I said, I think I said six. We're going to see like appear in this scripture 9 times, not 6. I apologize. Let me turn that 6 upside down. The locusts look like horses prepared for battle. The horses prepared for battle, I told you earlier in our Revelation study when we looked at the four horsemen of the apocalypse, that horses spoke of power. If you had an army with lots of horses, you were very, very feared. So these demons have power because he says they looked like horses prepared for battle. On their heads, they wore something like crowns of gold. Once again, that speaks of authority. And they are given authority to hurt, to torture. And their faces resembled human faces. That also speaks of the fact that they had some intellect. They weren't just insects moving about, but they were actually thought out actions. And their hair was like women's hair. By the way, it's in that culture, women covered their faces. In fact, they still do today. Oftentimes, the only thing you would see of a woman was her hair. And that was often very, they would do a lot to their hair because that was what would attract the man. Oh, look at her hair. How'd you like that, ladies? But what this speaks of is maybe there's some attractiveness to these angels, which is hard to imagine. Or perhaps they actually just had hair that look like women's hair, long Led Zeppelin looking things, I guess. Led Zeppelin rock stars or something. Their teeth were teeth like lion's teeth. And we know the devil roams around like a lion seeking whom he may devour. So they're devouring with these teeth. They had like the breastplates of iron. In other words, they are well protected. You can't kill these guys. You can't take them down. And the sound of their wings was like thunder of many horses and chariots rushing into battles. And they had tails with stingers like scorpions. And in their tails, they had power to torment people for 5 months. Now, let me show you some pictures. You don't have to hit the lights. Just leave it. Okay. You got them? Locusts. There's a locust. We're familiar with that. Kind of looks like a desert grasshopper. Okay, next one. Aha! Some commentators say that maybe what John was seeing was a helicopter. Even look at the lion's teeth. And the helicopter could look like braided hair. Pretty wild braided hair. You know, and it's got... Look, next one. There, like locusts. That kind of looks like locusts, huh? Next one. That's more like... And then let me explain to you. Here's a problem. In fact, a guy I respect very much, Hal Lindsey, he says that they're helicopters. Problem, number one, we don't store our helicopters in an abyss, okay? That's problem number one, okay? Also, our helicopters are not ruled by the devil. They're not. And we're going to see a few other things that tell us that, no, these are demons. Sometimes we go a little bit far in trying to make these things explainable. Listen, they're demons that have been chained up. I know a good friend of mine, his son works on Apache helicopters. He's never told me that they keep their helicopters chained up in an abyss. They're not. So that makes no sense at all. These are actual demons. And he's trying his best to describe, number one, their functionality. Number two, what they look like. Now, these come out of the pit. They come out of a hole. Talk about being afraid of what's under your bed. Remember when you were a little kid? I do. And you get afraid. What do you do? What do you do? Well, put the covers over your head, right? Like if there was an axe murderer, you know, oh, the blanket, I can't chop through that. Wow, that must be 200 stitch. Pretty good. I had to throw a joke in there. This is kind of intense. Where did these come from? Oh, man, we're running out of time. Where did these come from? Okay, let me suggest to you some scriptures to look at, only because we don't have the time to pick them apart. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4. Write that down. And it talks about God not sparing angels who sin, but he cast them down to hell to deliver them in the chains of darkness and reserved for judgment. And then Jude chapter 1, verse 6, angels who didn't keep their proper abode. And then he goes on to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah. And then, of course, we go over to Genesis chapter 6. It says, now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the earth, on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born to them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not strive with men forever, for he is indeed flesh. And he goes on to say that these were mighty men of renown. They created these monsters of some sort. And if you were here when we went through that, I went into more detail. Actually, you can go and look at the study online of Jude, and I flush it out. But basically, these are the demons. Some of the demons were the ones that actually involved themselves with women, tried to. Now, we know in Sodom and Gomorrah, what did the men of Sodom and Gomorrah try to do? They tried to rape the angels. We also know, people say, but wait. Angels are not corporeal beings. They don't have physical bodies. But yet, here's what we know. Sometimes when you entertain a stranger, you entertain an angel unaware. We also know that pre-incarnate Christ sat down and ate with Abraham. We also know that Jesus Christ glorified, said, hey, feel this, the holes in my hand. Side. There is physical body to the spiritual realm. Somehow, how that works, I don't know. I don't know. But we see this displayed out. So these angels, these demons, these fallen angels have been locked up there. And it says here in verse 11, they had a king over them, the angel of the abyss. So they have a king. Here's what we know. Locusts, insects, don't have kings. Not like bees that have queens. Locusts seem to just work as a team randomly. They don't seem to have like a leader. So we know they're not insects. That confirms it. In fact, Proverbs tells us this very thing. Proverbs 30:27, locusts have no king, yet they all advance in rank. So in other words, they have no king, but for some reason, they work together and wipe out everything in their path. Now, who is this king? It says here, whose name in the Hebrew is Abaddon, and in the Greek, Apollyon. That is the destroyer. Now, who's the destroyer? He who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. That's the devil. Now, he's the king over the angels. Why? Because they all chose to follow him. And that's why they got cast out. But he's not the king over the abyss. He had to get the key to the apartment, remember? Verse 12. The first woe has passed. Two other woes are yet to come. Heavy. But remember, I started off with Jude chapter 1, verse 20. Let me read that again, but I'm going to add some verses to the end. I'm going to continue to go to 25. It says, but you, beloved, build yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear. That's what we did today. Pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments defiled by the flesh. And I love this. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you are a believer, this is all we're ever going to have to hear or see of this. Praise God. But if you're not a believer, this is the biggest, most horrific gamble of your life. To say, I'll wait. I'll give my life to Jesus tomorrow. This could be your tomorrow. Make the decision today. He loves you today. He's calling your name today. He's saying, surrender and be saved today.